Psalm 55, and we will read from the verse 16 of this psalm together, please. Psalm 55, and we'll read from the verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Can we still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer before we come to his word just now. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us already. But O God, as we come now to the scriptures of truth, as we come, Lord, to consider thy word, it is our prayer, it is our desire, Lord, you'd be pleased to make this word live in our hearts. Open the word to our hearts, we pray. And Lord, open our hearts to the word. And Lord, we pray that today thy word will have free course and be glorified. Heavenly Father, we pray for the speaking voice of God to be heard. Take away, Lord, all distractions. And Lord, this day, we pray, Lord, be pleased to come and speak to all of our hearts. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. How do we deal with a crisis in our families? When some sort of trouble comes to our own front door, into our families, into our homes, how do we deal with it? You see, it's one thing to beware of a crisis in our nation, and certainly in our nation right now and in our province. We are in the middle of an awful crisis. We are in great trouble. But when that crisis or that trouble comes in through the front door of our own homes, it's an altogether different situation. It becomes very real. It becomes very hard, very painful. Perhaps some financial crisis, things financially, economically have taken a turn for the worse through no fault of your own. Maybe a crisis of health. Maybe a spiritual crisis. Members of your family walk away from God and make a mess of their life and reject their Christian upbringing. Well, those realities are all too often the case and seen in so many homes and in so many families. How do we deal with them? Where are we to turn? The psalmist, you know anything of the life of the psalmist, David was a man not immune from the troubles of life. His family was not immune from the crisis and the trials that often afflict many families. This Psalm 55 is a psalm that was penned during a time of family crisis in the life of David. It was at a time when his son Absalom had conspired and rebelled against his own father. And what a blow, a personal, bitter blow that was to David, his own flesh and blood rising up against his father. We see that in verse number 4 of this psalm where he says, "My heart is sore pained within me." But this situation of his son rising up against him is made all the more difficult and all the more painful when then his close friend, his trusted advisor, a man by the name of Ahithophel, then turns against him and joins with Absalom in that rebellion against David. The pain and the anguish of heart as a result of this bitter testing was heartbreaking. And now David's a fugitive. He's on the run. And he's come to this point in his life here in Psalm 55. And he's seeking to handle and try to deal with this crisis in his home and in his family. But as he does so, he is taught some wonderful lessons. It is the words of verse 22 that I want to consider by the help of God this morning. What David learned, how he dealt with the crisis in his home and in his family. Look what it says in verse 22. He says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." It is as if he's speaking to himself here. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Maybe today, in your family, in your home, father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, there's a time of testing, and it's very difficult. Maybe it's not with your family directly, but in some circumstance in your life, in your neighborhood, in your work situation, how are we to handle it? What are we to do? Well, let's see what David learned. Let's consider today what David has been taught in the midst of this crisis that he is presently facing and going through. Lessons and instructions today that I trust will encourage and also challenge, but soothe the hearts of those today who perhaps may be going through a time of great difficulty in your home and in your family. First of all, I want you to see here that there is a pressure that will afflict us. There is a pressure that will afflict us. Verse 22, the psalmist says, "Cast thy burden." All that the psalmist has been talking about in this psalm, up until now, he sums it up by this word, burden or pressure. We see just how very personal this burden is when he describes it as thy burden. It's very personal, it's very pointed, it's very painful. As we think of this pressure, notice the affliction of this pressure. In verse number 4 that we've already made mention of, he has said, "My heart is sore pained within me." It means he's extremely sore. It's not some medical condition here that he's talking about. But the situation that he is dealing with in his family and the rebellion of Absalom and others joining with him, it has broken his heart. He is sore pained. How often, as the people of God, we experience such affliction, such pain, such brokenness. It's not a medical pain. It's something that's come into our hearts that has really broken our hearts. Some crisis today, and our hearts are sore pain within us. There are many things that David learned in this experience in his life. One of the things that he learned was that he, as a Christian, was not immune from the trials of life. Trials are a part of the walk of a Christian just as much as they are the walk of the ungodly. But there are times when we look at the unrighteous and we see the ungodly and it seems that they have a life of ease, and yet the godly are called so much to suffer. You know, that's exactly how the psalmist Asaph thought. You read Psalm 73, Asaph, one of the psalmists, and he says in Psalm 73 in the verse number 2, "As for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped." And throughout that psalm, he talks about how the unrighteous were prospering in their way. And yet he looks into his own life and he looks into his own heart and he sees nothing but trouble, heartache, and he cannot understand. And as a result, he says, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Do you know, I thank God today for the honesty of the Scripture writers. Because how often How often through difficult times in our life and circumstances that come our way, do we not have similar thoughts and views just as the psalmist? My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Here was a man who had almost given up on his faith and in his living for God. A man of God, a man greatly used by God, but such were the burdens of his life. For him, he was ready to throw in the towel. He cannot understand. Oh, the affliction of this pressure is great. But I want you to see as well the authority of this pressure, this burden that he speaks of back in Psalm 55 and the verse 22. You look at that word burden there. And if you have a margin in your Bible, you will see that it also can be translated gift. Gift. It is something which is given to him by God. God has allowed this burden. In his divine permissive will, God has allowed this burden, this trial, this pressure to come the way of David. It is translated here in our authorized version in verse 22 as the word burden. But it comes from a word which means to give. That's why the word gift is also there. This burden, this crisis that he is facing right now in his home and in his family has been given to him by God. You see, when we get that truth into our hearts, that changes things, I believe. When we see that all that happens to us, while we do not understand and we cannot understand or comprehend why God does what he does, yet when we see that God allows such things, gives such things to us, it removes a lot of issues. It certainly removes the most unscriptural teaching of this health and wealth gospel. Because such people who propound this health and wealth gospel, they will come to a Christian who perhaps has fallen into a very difficult time in their own life. Perhaps sickness has come, and in their own families there's great difficulty. And they will question, well, what sin is God punishing you for that you find yourself in this? Now, folks, yes, there are storms of correction, most definitely. There are times when God has to correct we, his people. This is not a storm of correction here. This is a storm of perfection in the life of David. You think it as it was in the life of Job, when God in his divine plan and purpose allowed unspeakable grief to come into his home. You see, what the Lord is saying here, what the Lord is teaching us here, that even in our time of deep sorrow and anguish and pain, that the Lord, for some purpose that we know nothing about, has allowed it to come our way. This burden, this unbearable burden that David had to endure, his son rising against him, his close friend turning against him as well. What a burden it was. Yet David says, it's been given to me of God. You know, in the darkness and in the heaviness of the burdens that we bear, we can't see it. We can't understand. We only see things as they happen before our eyes. But remember, God sees the end from the beginning. God has ordered our lives aright. And he works all things together for our good. Little poem, the weaver says oft times, he worketh sorrow. And I within my heart forget he sees the pattern. I only see a part. It's not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas, explain the reason why. All the dark threads there is needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. We don't understand why God allows such things to come our way. But we can say that as for God, his way is perfect. God never causes his people a needless tear. We're loved by a sovereign, all-powerful God. We are precious in his sight. And while our circumstances may change, and while the situations that we find ourselves in may change, and they may be adverse, yet still God loves us with an everlasting love. Mr. Spurgeon one day was talking to a farmer, and he had a weather vane on the top of one of his sheds. And on the arrow of that weather vane were those words, God is love. Mr. Spurgeon says, what do you mean by that, sir? Are you saying that God's love changes according to how the wind blows? And the farmer turned to Mr. Spurgeon and he says, no, not at all. It means that no matter what way the wind may blow, God is still love. And David was realizing here that this was given to him by God. A God who still loved him. A God who still cared for him. Dear child of God today, that pressure that may afflict you even in the middle of that, in the midst of it, there is still a God who loves you. And as we'll see now in a second, a God who will provide for you. There is a pressure that will afflict us. But there's also now a procedure that will relieve us, because in verse 22, he says, cast thy burden. And remember, he's speaking to himself here. Cast thy burden. So when this comes our way, what are we to do? He has come to verse 22 after going through what we would call a roller coaster of emotions in Psalm 55. Verse 2, he says, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Verses 4 and 5, he feels overwhelmed. Verse number 6, he like Asaph wants to give up. He says, Oh that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. He thought that the only remedy for this situation was just to get away from it, just to fly away, just to leave all the troubles behind. But David realizes that the only thing that he can do with this trouble, the only thing that he can do with this burden that he is experiencing right now, is to cast it upon the Lord. Verse 16, he says, as for me, I will call upon God. Verse 22, he casts it upon the Lord. That word cast there, it means to literally throw down. Throw down. You see, what David is doing here in verse 22 is that he is giving back to God what God has given to him. Those emotions that he felt in the opening part of this psalm, they did nothing to relieve the situation. But now he encourages himself, throw it back to the Lord, give it back to him. This is something he had to do. And there was no other way that he could deal with this situation. There was no other relief that he was going to find but by simply bringing it to the Lord and giving it to the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. This was something he had to do. Child of God today, where there may be many ways that we think will be best for us as we try to work our way through the crisis in our family or in our homes as we seek to deal with it, Do you know the greatest thing that we can do? It seems so fundamental, yet it is so important, is to constantly and to continually bring it before the Lord in prayer. That burden that God has given to you, for what purpose, what reason, we know nothing of, yet we can give it back to Him. Give it back to Him prayerfully. This is a prayer, Psalm 55. We're to tell the Lord about it. You know, sometimes when things happen in our home, sometimes when things happen within our family, we find it very difficult just to be able to share it with somebody else. Perhaps it's too personal. But we can bring it to the Lord. We can leave it with Him. And that's what He's doing here. Verse 16, He says, "As for me, I will call upon God." He brought His burden. That which God had given to him, He brought it back to God. He gave it back to God. One day, Elisha Hoffman, who ministered in a church in Pennsylvania, was out on a visit with a dear lady in his congregation. She had many, many burdens in her life. And as he visited with this lady, she kept bringing to him all those issues that were overcoming her with grief and great sorrow. She felt very low in spirit. And she just simply turned to her pastor and she says, "Mr. Hoffman, what will I do? What can I do with all of this?" The faithful pastor read to the lady out of the Scriptures and turned to the Lord in prayer. And as he finished, he says, "Dear sister, the best thing you can do is tell the Lord about it. Tell the Lord about it." And then for a moment, there was silence. She was thinking of some other option. She was thinking there was going to be some other way that Mr. Hoffman was going to say to her that would relieve the pressure and the sorrows that she felt. And then suddenly her face lit up. She said, "Mr. Hoffman, you're right. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus." Elisha Hoffman left that home that day, and those words ringing in his ears, "I must tell Jesus." He went to a study and he wrote the words of that hymn, "I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves, cares for His own. I must tell Jesus." Perhaps today you've been trying to find relief, and you've been overlooking the greatest way that you can find relief in the midst of your burdens by bringing them to the Lord in prayer. Cast them prayerfully. Cast them patiently. God doesn't always remove that burden. God doesn't always immediately change the situation. He didn't do it for David. Didn't do it for Paul either. And the Apostle Paul brought to the Lord three times that thorn in his flesh, whatever it was. He prayed to the Lord and he brought it to the Lord. The Lord didn't remove it, but the Lord gave him grace to deal with it. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength made perfect in weakness." Dear child of God, today the Lord hears your prayer and the Lord answers prayer. And it may not be in the way that we would think or the way that we would want, but the Lord always answers our prayer and gives us that grace to deal with whatever situation we may find ourselves in. David realized that there is a pressure, a burden that would afflict him. And then he realized that there is a procedure was going to relieve him, to cast it upon the Lord. But finally, I want you to see as well that he speaks now of a promise that would thrill him. The end of verse 22 is a wonderful promise. A promise not only for David in his crisis, but a promise for all of us today, we who know and love the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a promise, twofold promise. A promise of strength there, first of all. When we consider some of the ways in which that word sustain is used in the Bible, sometimes it's translated to provide. God always provides for us, even in our time of great crisis. The word also can be translated to bear, and even under the heaviest of burdens, God bears his people. It can mean to nourish. And in the darkest of nights, God can still nourish his people. God, our God today, shall sustain you. He will hold you up. Because when those burdens come into your life, come into your home, come into your family, they can drain you. And you feel like you have no strength. And you feel that you cannot go on. Psalmist says, the Lord will sustain you. The Lord will give you that strength to keep on going, even though you perhaps do not know how you're going to get through. And as you face into the future and you see nothing but more trouble and trial up ahead and you do not know how you're going to get through, the Lord will bring you through. That's a promise. And the Lord will give you grace and strength as he brings you through. There's not only a promise of strength, but there's a promise of stability. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That word suffer there can mean to slip or fall away. You know, sometimes when the burdens become very difficult and very hard, the devil would come to his people and would say, God's given up on you. There's no point anymore. Your salvation is no longer secure. And the Lord has cast you away. Thank God today, my Savior not only saves me, but he keeps me. He gives on to his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And while your circumstances may change, and while your situations that you find yourself in may change, thank God today, child of God, your standing in Christ can never change. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will not cast off his people. Perhaps there are times when through those dark times we feel the Lord. We've let the Lord down. But he has never failed us. He'll keep us. He will not suffer, or he will not allow the righteous to be moved or taken away. He will enable us to stand. Isn't it true that when those troubles come, we feel like falling, we feel like giving up, we do not see any point in going on? God gives us the strength to keep going on. And as we do so, God will sustain us. And he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a promise today. What a promise for you, dear child of God, as you face into the unknown future. In every situation and in every changing situation, bring it back to the Lord. Give it over to Him. And remember that promise. The Lord will sustain you. When you feel you have no strength of your own, and you do not feel you have the strength enough to keep on going, the Lord will see you through. And the Lord will make a way through. He shall sustain thee. And He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Before I close this morning, let me say a word to those today who are here perhaps without Christ. And you do not have the assurance of God's salvation. And when troubles come to your life, where do you turn? Turn perhaps to neighbors, to friends, to society. I encourage you today, if you're here without the Savior, turn to Christ. That burden, even as we were speaking to the children a little time earlier, that burden of sin, give it to Him. Cast your burden of sin upon Him. Give your life over to Him. Come and acknowledge that before God you are a sinner. He'll save you today. But He not only promises to save you, He promises to go with you. And when the storms of life will blow hard upon you, as they will, He will be that friend that will never leave you nor forsake you. Many worldly friends will leave, forsake. But the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave you. Turn to Him today. Turn to Him. Dear child of God, how do we deal with the crisis in our families, in our homes, in our nation, anywhere? How do we deal with it? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. May the Lord speak to all of our hearts for His name's sake and for His glory.